If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and pull them out because we're going to be in the book of Proverbs and we'll be running through the book of Proverbs and we're going to be looking at character traits of wise people, character traits of wise people. This is our last week in our wisdom series as we will be launching a new one next week and you can invite your friends and family. We're going to be talking about a better tomorrow and what God has in store for us in the future. So as we're getting started, I read a story this week that I thought applied to a sermon a couple weeks ago, and it was funny, so I thought I'd tell it to you, because if you remember, one of the things we talked about is how God knows all things and sees all things, and a story that I read was of a young boy that was at a Christian school, and apparently that day they had just enough apples at lunchtime so each person could have one apple. And so they got there, and there's a little sign at lunch. It said, on the apple, that said, "Only take one. God is watching you." And so the boy just got one apple and went by it. And then apparently he was a jokester because he got to the cookies, and there was no sign. So he pulled out his pen and paper real quick and wrote a little note, and it said, "Eat as many as you want. God's watching the apples." Oh, I thought that's a great sense of humor. The truth is, God sees all, right? And he is all wise. And we're in the end of this series as we've been trying to ask God, Lord, how can we be more like you? What wisdom can you pour into us, Lord, that we might love the way you love? That we might show compassion the way God shows compassion? That we might be able to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us? And we might make a difference and be able to share that with others. And so that's where we're at this morning. If you would, join with me in prayer and let's just ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we just come and we humble ourselves. Lord, you know everything. I mean, you've been here for all eternity. You've seen it all come and go. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. And so, God, we know that you have that wisdom, but, Lord, we struggle because we want what we want. And we struggle to obey and struggle to even seek wisdom sometimes because of our own fleshly desires. So, God, I pray this morning that you'll speak to everybody just like you prompted my heart, Lord, and spoke to me about a couple things this week to draw us closer to you so that we will seek your wisdom and treasure it in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14. If you don't have your own Bible, there's a burgundy one in the seat in front of you or beside you, and you can read and follow along with us. But Proverbs 15, 14 says, "A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash." Wow, that's pretty blatant there, isn't it? So the first point, if you have your listening guide, you pull that out. The first point is that a wise person is hungry for knowledge. A wise person is hungry for knowledge. They feed on knowledge and wisdom more than on trash. Now, I had a friend of mine who said something to me one time. It stuck in my mind and it never left. And I hope it does the same thing for you today. And we were talking about movies that we watch and stuff like that. And I had a more liberal perspective, I guess you'd say, than he had. And he said to me, he said, "Steve, you know, garbage in, garbage out." I was like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you put garbage in your mind, garbage is going to come out of your mouth." And I remember thinking, oh, whatever. You're like, I'm mature enough. I can hear stuff. I hear it at work. I hear it at school. I won't repeat that. And I remember a moment of kind of a truth-telling moment where I'd watched a movie, and then after that movie, I'd gone out, got mad at a moment, and something came from my mouth that wouldn't normally come from my mouth. And it's like the Spirit of God said, "Where do you think that came from? Garbage in, garbage out." And so, are we putting garbage into our minds with what we're watching on TV, with what we're listening to in music, with what we're reading in the books that we read, with the magazines that we pick up, or are we putting wisdom? Now, I'm not saying that you just need to read the Bible and that's the only book you should ever pick up, that's the only place that there's knowledge and wisdom. No, we talked about that the first week, that God offers wisdom in multiple areas, but this is perfect wisdom, And I would say to you that this is the first place we start when we just seek after wisdom. It's where we go to for wisdom. And so the question is, am I hungry for wisdom and knowledge? Or am I seeking more just to live off what I want when I want it? And parents, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to parent up, okay? Because listen, when I was a kid, I used the same line on my parents that they use on me, right? Well, we hear it at school. Why can't we see the movie with that in it? We already know those words. What's the big deal? And I had a friend of mine who thankfully gave me some good wisdom. He said, Steve, they may have heard it all and you may have heard it all. But when you choose as a parent to bring it in your house and you let them watch it under your authority, whether you like it or not, you're condoning it. You're endorsing it. And I took that to heart. And my two oldest boys, we had a lot of good moments where they didn't like me because I'm like, we're not going to play video games where you're shooting other people in the video games. I don't want to desensitize you to that. And of course, I was the Neanderthal parent for years and that. And then there's the standards we had for movies. And according to them, I'm the only parent that carries those standards. So I guess the rest of y'all just let them watch anything according to them, right? All my other friends, they can watch that movie, right? Parents, hold the line. Hold the line. Have wisdom. Have wisdom enough to protect your children and your nieces and your nephews and your grandkids by remembering that garbage in, garbage out. Wise people seek wisdom. Wise people are hungry for wisdom and not trash. So, second thing is that wise people treasure knowledge. They don't just hunger for knowledge, but they treasure it when they get it. Proverbs 10:14 says this, wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. How many of you know that person that they're always right, at least in their own minds? Yeah? It's like you could ask them, they could be like a doctor, but they know everything about lawn cutting. You know what I'm saying? They could be a master gardener as their profession, but they could do a surgery better than you could. They just never went into that profession. And the more you hear somebody like that, and the more you hear them babble on, as the Bible says, the more you just kind of ignore, right? But how many of us are that people from time to time? How many of us do that? I do from time to time. My wife will sometimes say, do you really know what you're talking about? She'll ask me a question like, well, why do you think the car's doing this? And I'll say, well, you know, that kind of noise, that's probably something from the exhaust. She'll go, are you making that up? And if I'm not careful, that could become my reputation, right? And so I've really had to take it to heart to speak true knowledge and not be a babbling brook, as it says here, a babbling fool. Well, we all learn from different techniques too. And so if you're going to treasure knowledge, how do you get knowledge? Some people, man, you can open a book and you can read it and it just makes sense to you. And that's the place you draw knowledge from. Other people, you're more hands-on. You learn more from being hands-on and actually doing the task. Others learn best from a mentor or a leader. Whatever your way is that you learn best, you need to apply that to your faith. I learn best from people speaking into my life and teaching me. When I went to college, I didn't put two and two together back then, but when I went to college, I didn't realize that I did really well in classes where the professor loved the subject and they would teach, and then the test came from whatever they taught. Because I loved to listen to the professor when he spoke, and I loved when he was energized. I didn't have any interest in reading about quantum analysis in a book. I get about three sentences in and just fall asleep. And now I realize it's because I learn best from people teaching me. I learn best from going to conferences and seminars. And so for me, that's where I love to go. I love to learn the things of the Lord from other people that are doing the things of the Lord. And for you, that might be the case. If so, then you need to start going to some. We offer some here. We're doing the Willow Creek Conference. I'm going down to Orlando to a church planting conference in February. Go with me. If anybody wants to go, hey, we'll get you there, right? I mean, you may have to pay for it, but we'll find a way to get you there. I'll throw you in the back seat of the car. We'll have a good time. But if it's books, what are you reading right now that will help you treasure wisdom? What books are you reading that will pour wisdom into your mind and your heart? It starts with the Bible. Highly encourage you. Get in the Word. But there's also some great devotional books that are out there. You know, my wife loves that Jesus Calling, and that's her favorite one that she does. And what is it for you? Maybe it's listening. We're blessed today that you can pull up on the internet right now and listen to sermons. And you can listen to almost anybody in the country for free just by pulling it up there. Somebody was asking me this morning if we had this wisdom series on CDs out there. And I don't know, but I know you can go to your phone and you can download it and listen to it anytime you want to. That's a gift that we have that people just 20 years ago didn't even have. There's so many opportunities for us to treasure knowledge. Do we do so? Well, the third thing is that wise people are open for knowledge. And that really should be open for new knowledge, really new knowledge. And the reason I say that is because oftentimes we get a collection of what we know and we think that's enough and we stop there instead of seeking out new things and trying to learn things. So Proverbs 18:15 says this, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open to knowledge. If you ever think you know everything, then you're the biggest fool in the room. Right? Because nobody knows everything. Nobody's an expert at everything. We can all learn from one another. And if we're so busy running our mouth, giving our opinions on everything, then we can't hear from others and learn. And I want to encourage you, it goes both ways. Adults, are you listening to your kids? Sometimes my kids teach me things that I just miss because I just haven't run in those circles in a while. And sometimes my kids will say something, I'll go, wow, I have never thought of that scripture that way. That is awesome. And sometimes they'll share something that challenges me and where I'm at in my spiritual growth. And I want to learn from my kids as well as teaching my kids. And kids, let me encourage you. Wisdom comes with gray hair. That's what scripture says. And so when are you listening and following people that are wiser than you? Don't think you know everything. There's a flood of wisdom and discernment out there. Reach out and find somebody that you respect and somebody that is living life the way that you believe it should be lived. And go and just buy them lunch one day and just ask them, what is it they've learned? Seek out wisdom. Treasure this wisdom and be open to new wisdom, to what people might teach you. I'm grateful we're going to have folks joining the church today. They went through River 101, and the river is a little different than a lot of churches. It's similar to some, different than others. And as you come here, I want you to know who we are, our vision, our values, our history. And there are people that have gone through the class and they're joining today saying, hey, I want to be a part of that. But they had to choose to do some things that maybe stretched them. Make some decisions to commit to being a part of something bigger than themselves. And they'll be doing that today. And I honor that. And then don't get so set in your spiritual constructs that you don't listen to other people that have different opinions than you. I got a good story to kind of share with that. I grew up in an unchurched family, and so I grew up wearing blue jeans, tennis shoes, and t-shirt. I mean, literally, if you'd have opened the closet of my door as a teenager, there wouldn't have been anything but blue jeans, t-shirts, tennis shoes, one pair of khakis, one pair of black shoes, and one dress shirt, maybe two. And the only reason I had those was if I had to go to a wedding with the family or if I spent the night with a friend on Saturday night and went to church with him. Because my parents, who were unbelievers, they knew that their friends that went to church, they all dressed up to go to church. And so if I was going to spend the night and go to church with my friends, I had to wear those shoes and those khakis. Now, I got to tell you, because I only wore those shoes like three times a year or maybe six times a year, we never kept up with buying the right size. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you can squeeze into them for one more week. You got this. And so I always hated going to friends' churches because I had to dress up. So when I got saved and I started studying the Word, I realized that Jesus never wore a tie. I was like, yes, all right, now we can move forward in my faith, right? And there was no coat. And so then I got where I got self-righteous, just being honest. I got to where when I'd see people dress up, I would judge them and go, oh, I bet you're just worried about what people think about you. I bet you're just dressing up for others. And I got self-righteous, in my opinion. And I heard a message at seminary, when I went out to seminary, and the guy speaking at the chapel made the statement. And he said, now when you go to church, you need to show your respect to God. You need to wear your very best. And if you're not, then you're, I think even he said it, you're probably sinning when you do that. Oh man, the back of hairs in my head kind of stood on end. I got angry and I was like, oh, I'm going to tell him how he's wrong. I'm going to go tell him what he really needs to know. And the Holy Spirit, thankfully for the Holy Spirit, rebuked me and said, I want you to go listen to what he has to say. I was like, oh no, Lord, you don't understand. I've got his answer he needs to hear. You know, I got the wisdom. And I just felt very much like the Lord said, no, you need to go. And you need to just listen and not even share your opinion. Now, that's hard for me. But I was like, yes, Lord. And I went and I sat down with him. And I said, brother, you made a comment in your sermon that if people aren't wearing their best clothes to church, then they're not honoring God. I said, can you explain that to me? I said, I don't understand. And he said, well, he said, when I was in the military, he said, I spent 20-something years in the military. And he said, whenever a general would come to the base, he said, the whole base would go in chaos before they came. He said, we would scrub that thing from top to bottom. You had to clean your clothes 100 times and shine your boots and your buckles and your wards and everything. And he said, when that general showed up, you'd all just stand as straight as you could as long as he wanted you to stand there. He said, if I'm going to show that kind of respect to a man, you know I'm going to show more respect to God. I was like, that's a good word. That's a good word. I understood where he was coming from. And the Lord said, see, my brother, my son, your brother has a reason. You need to honor that and respect that. So then I prayed, do I need to change? I feel like God says, no. Because my reason is I want to bring my best, and my best is inside. My best is my heart. I want to come with my heart ready for God. I want to come where my motives are pure. And so for me, my natural state, this is my natural state. This is my preferred state. This is where I am day in. If you like wearing a coat and tie, wear a coat and tie. You like wearing a dress, wear a dress. You like wearing shorts and flip-flop, wear shorts and flip-flop. But make sure your heart is in the right place and that you're not being self-righteous one way or the other. Make sure your heart is where you are coming to connect with God and be connected to God. And be open. Be open when somebody disagrees with you. There's a lot of different denominations in this town and a lot of different denominations in the city, right? And in the nation. I don't agree with everybody, but I love getting together with other pastors on Thursdays and coming together with folks from all different denominations to pray for our city. We don't agree on everything, but I always want to keep my heart open. And as long as they're sharing stuff that's in agreement with the Word of God, then I can take that and listen and learn. But we've got to filter everything new through God's Word. Okay? So that's the third thing, is wise people are still open for new knowledge. Well, the fourth thing is the wise people speak wisdom. Wise people speak wisdom. They don't just keep it to themselves, they share it. Proverbs 10:31 says this. Says, the mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Are we choosing to speak wisdom proactively into other people's lives? We've got man camp coming up this weekend. That's the whole reason we started man camp, was we wanted to be able to speak wisdom into the next generation's life of young men. And so we started it with that goal, that we want to pour into these young boys and these young men what the Bible says about manhood and what God calls us to be godly men. It's not to lord over our families with an iron fist. It's to be a servant leader in the home. It's not to sit on the couch and send our spouse out to earn the money while we just kind of piddle around, but it's to be the provider for our family and working hard. It's to be setting a testimony, not of our wives dragging us to church, but of us leading the way and saying, let's go together as a family. And we purposely want to speak that wisdom into them. And kudos to you guys, because you're here today. And you're here, you could be home sleeping, you could be out kayaking, you could be out enjoying the sunshine and whatever. And you're here today seeking wisdom. Now that you sought it, I pray that you'll speak it. Your assignment this week is, as you go into the workplace tomorrow, at lunch table when everybody's gossiping, to speak wisdom instead of gossip. Your assignment on Tuesday is when you go into workplace and everybody's complaining and belly aching and running down the boss, for you to stop and say, hey, what if we pray for the boss? Your assignment on Wednesday is when your family's frustrated and you're having a bad moment and you're wanting to just rail on everybody because they didn't, you know. Does this ever happen in your house? I went this week to get a thing, a little Kool-Aid juicer, you know. We have them in the box, in the fridge. And guess what? You put your hand in and there's no Kool-Aid juicer, just the box. And it's like, can you not at least take the box and throw it away? It's like, it's a double lose. It's like, one, I got to throw it away. And two, now I'm teased because there's no cold Kool-Aid. I'm just saying, put dad in a bad mood. So do I, A, choose to make a big deal and blow up, or do I go, hey guys, let's gather around. What does God want us to do? Let's do our part. You know, the Lord says to work diligently. Everybody throw it. Okay, I didn't do that. I just kind of said, hey guys, throw it away next time. But can we speak wisdom this week? Parents, look for opportunities in your kids' life to speak scripture into their life. When they're asking questions, this is where ultimate wisdom comes from, right here. Moms, listen, there's something about moms that you guys just, you have an ear to your kids and you have a gift for pouring into them. Speak into them. Grandmas and grandpas, don't underestimate the authority and the influence that you have. I talk to so many people and they'll tell me that their grandma, their grandpa, that's who they listen to the most because they admire them so well. Sometimes it's an aunt or an uncle, a coworker. I want to challenge you this week to proactively speak wisdom into people's lives. That's what he's telling us here to do. And then the last thing, finally, I want to challenge you to think before you act. Wise people think before they act. Did your parents ever say that to you? Think before you act. Well, guess where they got it from? The book of wisdom, the Bible. Proverbs 13:16 says, wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Everybody's wired differently. This one for me is the hardest one. Matter of fact, this other verse, I got a star by it in my Bible. Proverbs 19:2 says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. I've got enthusiasm. Let me tell you, I love, when I get into something, I am all in. But haste makes mistakes. If I don't think things through. Now, my wife, she's the thinker, right? So this one's easy for her. She doesn't want to get in a hurry. And so she thinks things through. So if I'm humble and willing to learn new things, I can learn from my wife on how to think things through. But if I'm all prideful, then I'm going to miss out on the wisdom that I can learn from her. Same way in our elder team as a church. We've got an awesome elder team here. So grateful for our elder team. We've got men of God that really stick to the Word of God. But in that group, we've got different guys, right? Just by nature, we've got some that are ready, aim, fire, and they're very systematic in what they do. And then we've got some that are really super duper systematic. They're like, ready, check the sights, aim, check the wind speed, aim, check the target, fire. And then you got me, and I'm like, ready, fire, aim. You know, I'm just like out of order. And one of my elders, we were talking about the differences of each other one time, and one of my elders said, Steve, sometimes we just feel like you're fire, 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 fire. And I was like, yeah, there is a fire. You know, it's like we're wired differently. We've got to humble ourselves to listen to those around us and think before we act. And Jesus wanted us to think before we act spiritually as well. You can flip over. This is in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14. Let's start in verse 27. Luke 14, start at verse 27. Jesus here is instructing his people that are wanting to follow him to think about the decision first. Now, it's kind of interesting because in most settings, it's like if I'm starting a church, I'd just love to have everybody follow. Like, hey, the bigger the crowd, the more fun we're going to have. It's got to be bigger is better, right? We think success that way so much in America. Jesus would get a big crowd, and then he'd almost like scare them all off. He'd warn them. He's like, guys, this is a big deal. You need to think about it before you join my team because it's going to get rough. And he'd warn them, and this is one of his warnings. Verse 27, he said, and if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's one person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. So Jesus is telling us, listen, if you're going to follow Christ, first count the cost. First examine, seek wisdom, figure out what it's teaching, and then follow. Give it all you've got. But know that it comes with a cost. Otherwise, you'll launch into something and you'll give up when you don't get it exactly the way you think God should have given it to you. And you'll begin to fizzle out. Now, an example that comes to my mind when I think of this, and if you own the building, I'm sorry, but on Interstate Drive, next to the Ford, I think it's the Ford dealership now, there was a building that was built that looked like it was going to be like a Chinese restaurant. Y'all know the one I'm talking about? It was right there on the Interstate Drive, right between the Interstate and I-40 and Interstate Drive. And they took a big piece of land, they built a big building, and it never got finished. And every time I would drive by there, I would think, oh man, somebody's getting killed financially. They don't have a business to go in there. They've got to be losing their shirt. And then they must have lost so much money that they ended up just bulldozing the thing and starting all over after they sold it. And I thought, man, that's painful. That's painful. That's the way we look if we don't count the cost of our faith. If we just think, hey, I want to be a Christian because everything's going to be healthy, wealthy, happy. Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Count the cost, guys. It's a commitment. And sometimes it's going to cost you. Students, when all the other students are in the room and the teacher leaves and everybody decides it's time for a free-for-all, are you the one to suggest wisdom and say, no, we should honor the teacher? Or are you the one to jump in? Employees, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Is that true? I worked at a place one time, as soon as the boss would leave the building, I mean, like everybody would watch, make sure the car went around the corner, chaos would ensue. It was like if they were washing dishes and mopping the floors, it didn't matter. Everybody stopped what they're doing immediately and just came and just hung out. And sometimes we'd even get a little rowdy. And I would just ask the question, are you willing to continue to work when no one sees you? When everybody else will mock you and call you a goody two-shoes because you're choosing to do the right thing, will you continue to do the right thing? It's not always easy, is it? I'm going to ask you if you would to bow your head with me. This morning, for some, God's speaking to you because you've been analyzing, you've been examining, you've been seeking whether this is truth or not. And maybe today God's saying, it's time for you to fire. You're already ready, you're already aimed, you've counted the cost. Today's your day to step across that line. If so, then I want to invite you to commit your life to Christ. Others of you may be here and you just started coming. Maybe this is all new and you're asking questions. Keep coming. Keep seeking. Wait until the Spirit of God will speak to your heart and draw you and commit your life to Christ. Count the cost first. Others of you here are believers, and yet you've not been walking in wisdom. You've been filling your minds with trash, and you've been filling your time with things that don't glorify God. And you need to confess that to Him this morning and turn back to Him. Whatever God is saying to your heart, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of commitment now. If God is speaking to your heart, saying it's time to take this leap, then join me in prayer. You can pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me. Dear God, today I want to commit everything to you. I know it's going to cost me, but I'm all in. Lord, I need your forgiveness for the things of my past. So I accept the forgiveness from Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. I confess now him as my Savior, and I surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen.